You're listening to The Point. Communities across Massachusetts are grappling with how to manage the cultivation and sale of cannabis after the statewide petition for legalizing the adult use and sale of marijuana passed in 2016. Do you have a question or comment about the cultivation, sale, or use of marijuana in your town? You can join the conversation at 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626, or send an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Truro selectmen have placed a warrant on the April 24th town meeting that would temporarily ban cannabis business in the town, but farmers are hoping to cultivate the crop this year, and they are pushing back. Before we talk about the specifics of the proposal in Truro, we ask State Representative Sarah Peek to join us to talk generally about Massachusetts marijuana regulation. She's on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Mindy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Just great, thank you.
Medical marijuana, as we've mentioned, was legalized in Massachusetts in 2012, and in 2016, voters approved a ballot question legalizing marijuana for adult use. How has the state legislature been involved in forming the regulations around the cultivation, sale, and use of marijuana since these ballot initiatives have passed?
Right. So as you mentioned, the ballot initiative passed in November of 2016, and then really beginning in January when we were all sworn in for the current legislative term, we took a look at the ballot question and the way that it was written and made the decision that there were ways that we wanted to amend the ballot question to tailor it to what life is like and what we wanted to see here in Massachusetts. Because quite honestly, the ballot question was written by one of the big national proponents. It's sort of a boilerplate type language that you see with very little changes appearing on ballots across the country in a variety of states. And we wanted to make sure that here in Massachusetts we were doing something that we were comfortable with, we could enforce, and also that provided access to this new market to people who, when we looked at the Colorado experience or the Washington experience, had been left out of the market. So there's provisions in there to ensure that communities that were disproportionately affected by a marijuana prohibition have a leg up in being able to participate. And I was visited by a number of farmers from the Outer Cape who said, hey, we know how to grow stuff. We would like a piece of this market, and we want to make sure that all this cultivation isn't happening just in huge warehouses outside of Worcester or someplace like that.
So this is you're talking about the craft cooperative license. So explain the goal of the craft cooperative license for growing marijuana.
Yeah, so the goal of the craft cooperative license is sort of similar to the way the state supports the Buy Fresh, Buy Local campaign to support our local farmers, help them earn a living, support agriculture across the state. So a component that I put in the House side as an amendment, and Senator Scheer carried it over on the Senate side, would allow for these cooperatives to form. So any one farmer who might not have enough arable land or a warehouse space that's big enough or the financing behind them as an individual can band together, form a co-op in the form of an LLC, and if you go on the Cannabis Control Commission's website, you see what all of the regulations are around how they have to form, who has to be a resident. At least one of the co-op members has to have filed federal tax returns that show they are legitimate farmers for at least the past year. But the bottom line was Julian and I wanted to figure out a way that our constituents and, quite honestly, farmers across the Commonwealth could have a piece of this market, which we think, based on looking at the experience in other states where it's been legalized, can be very lucrative. The jobs offered are high-paying. We're not talking about minimum wage jobs, but wages far in excess of the minimum wage. And we were joined in this effort by colleagues from kind of the farm belt west of Worcester, between Worcester and the Berkshires, who also saw an opportunity for their constituents.
How much latitude are towns given to regulate cannabis?
Well, they are given latitude to look at their zoning bylaws and regulations and include areas where growth, cultivation, processing, and retail sales can happen. What they're not given latitude, well, they're even given latitude to ban all marijuana activity, sort of in a two-tiered way. If you are a community that did not vote in favor of the ballot initiative, then that decision can be made by a majority vote of the city council, board of selectmen, or the, actually not the board of selectmen, it'd be the town meeting, the legislative body. If you are a community that did vote at the ballot in favor, then any outright ban has to go on a townwide ballot, like it would be in the May selectmen's election type of thing.
Riley's giving us a call from Brewster. Good morning, Riley.
Hello, good morning. I wanted to just comment that I feel like the process of this is going on very well, and that one thing that concerns me is that, which is different from other states, is the dialogue. The use of cannabis was used widely in Colorado because they're a very agricultural state. Marijuana has a very racially associated and historical connotation, which is negative, and that if the process was to continue, especially to go up for a vote, especially in the media, the use of cannabis versus marijuana would allow people to take part in the dialogue without having that that racial connotation mm-hmm. that goes back to the 1920s, where marijuana fever and reefer madness,
right? Riley, I think that's a good point. But Sarah, what about that? Because I was just thinking as we were talking about this sort of stigma of it. And honestly, I always think cannabis and marijuana are the same thing, aren't they?
They are. At least I believe they are. Maybe when one of the farmers gets on, yeah. Dave can correct that if I'm wrong. But, cannabis and marijuana are the same thing. You know, there's different components to cannabis. There's the CBD, which is often used in medical marijuana. You don't get the high from that, and the THC is what gives you the high. And I'll tell you, the growing of this has become so sophisticated since the time that we were probably all in college that when these retail stores open, not only will you be knowing what, you know, it's sort of like buying shellfish, right? You can ask the guy in the fish market, can I see that tag? Mm-hmm. And you can know exactly what grant your clams or oysters came off of. We're going to have a complete seed-to-sale tracking of cannabis in the same way we do. In fact, we really took a hard look at the shellfishing regulations. We're going to have the same sort of seed-to-sale tracking system, and you'll be able to know this is what the percent of THC is, this is what the percent of CBD is. It's like mm-hmm. going into a liquor store and seeing what the proof is on one right. vodka versus another or something like that. Yeah.
All right, joining us now is Paul Wysocki. He's chairman of the Truro Board of Selectmen. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. And Dave DeWitt joins us. He's a member of the Truro Agricultural Commission and a farmer in the newly formed Cannabis Farming Cooperative. Welcome, Dave, to you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Dave, did we have that right? Is cannabis and marijuana the same thing? Is it just a different term?
Yes, they are. As a matter of fact, but like the gentleman said, marijuana is a racial connotation. So the industry is moving towards the word cannabis. The state has decided to continue using marijuana because that's what people know. So mm-hmm. and they don't want to confuse people. So either one is fine.
All right. So, Dave, how does the craft cooperative licensing process work, and how might your cooperative be affected if the proposed ban passes?
Our organization, High Dune Craft Cooperative LLC, has been diligently working on all of our bylaws and everything necessary for our businesses, our license to take effect. What the moratorium at this juncture is could slow us down in our host community agreement that we're prepared to work on right now, as a matter of fact. So, this is something that we need to get done to have a business in the town of Truro, and we would like to get going on this. We've been dotting all of our I's and crossing our T's for months now and are ready to go, and we don't want to have any thing impeding us to get our license. So the importance of us getting into the marketplace on the ground floor is very important as far as getting our brand recognized, and there's a lot of other reasons, but basically we're ready to go. The moratorium is going to slow us down a little bit. We would like to engage in discussion with the town to create our host community agreement so we can get to work, really. Mm-hmm. We don't want to miss too many of the growing cycles. We're small farms. There's five of us total, four in Truro and one in Wellfleet. and we just really want to get to work.
Yeah, Paul, why is the Truro Board of Selectmen proposing a temporary ban on cannabis business, and how has the proposed moratorium evolved?
So the moratorium is about giving the town of Truro a short amount of time to study the final regulations, and the final regulations were just published on March 23rd. And we need a little bit of time so that we can understand them fully. We need to understand the impact on our existing zoning regulations, health, and public safety, and to engage in a planning process to determine how best to implement and zone marijuana establishments in our community. And, you know, the moratorium is not about stopping something from ultimately happening. I think there's great opportunity for our town. With adult use marijuana for our craft cultivators, for local businesses, economic development, jobs, sustainability. But what we want, what the moratorium will do is it will allow us to slow it down just a little bit and make sure that we do it right the first time and in a way that the community can rally around as a whole.
What does Selectman see as some of the potential risks associated with the cultivation and sale of cannabis in Truro?
Well, I think I would frame it a little differently. It's, in terms of risks, because the regulations have just been finalized, we need to understand them fully and see how they relate to our own local municipal regulations and rules, things around zoning and licensing and health. For example, in the regulations for all of the different license types, there are requirements around signage. And sometimes very specific about signage, size, placement, et cetera. And local municipalities have their own sign code regulations. We don't know where the two conflict. And it could be, and we don't know this, that the state, that the, our local zoning may not allow for some of the things that the state regulations are requiring. And that is something we would need to fix. And in order to fix that, we would need to bring new zoning proposals or fixes to our current zoning to a town meeting, whether it be a regular town meeting or a special town meeting.
So we're talking about a time frame here. You say you want to slow it down for a short time. What's the time frame we're talking about?
The proposed moratorium would be until November 15th, 2018. And that's an outer limit. So it means that we have that amount of time to get it done. It doesn't mean that we would actually use all of that time. It just gives us until that date. And it's important to note also that the Cannabis Control Commission, in its guidance for municipalities, is clear that it is appropriate for communities to implement a moratorium in order to engage in a planning process. And the Attorney General reviews those moratoriums, and so far, when they have reviewed them, they have allowed them, and they have allowed them for as long as December 31st, 2018. And our moratorium is actually shorter than that, only until November 15th.
Dave, what would that slow down? How would that impact you?
Well, once again, we will be applying for our license on May 1st. So we have a pretty good process to go through with the state. But we also do need that host community agreement. So that's where it really slows us down the most, is that we're prepared at this point to engage in a discussion with the town to come up with our host community agreement. The draft regulations came out on December 21st of 2017, and that was about 98% of the meat of this highly regulated industry. So there's actually been plenty of time, and many towns have already finished their process with zoning and stuff. So we're just looking to get this process rolling quickly. There's already a lot of safeguards in our town to begin with as far as zoning. We know where residential zones are. We know where commercial zones are. We know where business can operate in the town. We already have signage laws. We already have, agricultural land use stuff. So the real key for us is just that we would like to move this process forward and get our host community agreement written with the town, so we could begin our process.
What's the growing season for this?
Year-round.
So this would be growing inside greenhouses as well as outside?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, the state will allow both.
And then once the cannabis is harvested, where does it go and how might it be used?
Well, as Sarah touched, there's a very strict seed-to-sale provisions in the regulations. So we'll only be allowed, the craft cooperative is one license, one cultivation license. So there's a maximum amount of square footage that we can use, and we enter at whatever, there's various tiers. We're going to be entering at one of the lower tiers, most likely between 20 and 30,000 square feet the first year. Total possibility is 100,000 square feet. So we are looking forward to, you know, once the product has been grown, we can only sell to state licensed businesses and industries. So it's not like we can be selling it at our farmer's market. It's not going to happen that way. Everything will be watched via cameras and geotags. Little GPS units will be on every plant, monitoring its process from seed to sale. So it's going to go through a rigorous testing for pollutants, pesticides, molds, mildews, as well as for THC levels, CBD levels, CBN, CBGs, et cetera. So, you know, in lieu of slowing us down, we really want to just get a safe, clean product to the market as quickly. You know, we can all, you know, we all know that marijuana is here in the black market. It's been in Truro forever. It's not going anywhere. So we just would like to, you know, give our farms an additional crop to grow that will help our farms be more sustainable and able to grow the vegetables that we love to do as well.
Right. Paul, the temporary moratorium on cannabis business will go before residents at Truro's town meeting on April 24th. What happens if it doesn't pass?
As I understand it, if it does not pass, the process will be able to continue in terms of folks being able to apply for licenses. We would continue with the process. You know, we would have to make it work within our current zoning would apply. I think, so that's what would happen with the if the moratorium failed.
So would it be then going forward, if the ban doesn't pass and the cannabis businesses get up and running, they could be subject to future laws that Truro might pass to regulate this, right?
Yes, there's a question about, you know, and I can't speak definitively about this. There's a question about also if a business starts without, prior to us doing any sort of local ordinances or zoning, whether they would be grandfathered in a sense if we then pass zoning later. Mm-hmm. So it's unclear as to whether there actually would be creating a two-tiered system in a sense, but right. I'm not exactly certain about that. That's something we're still exploring at this time as to whether that would be the case.
Hey, Dave, I want to ask you, too, about the stigma. You know, Riley sort of brought that up a little bit with the use of the term marijuana versus cannabis. As you're going around and talking to people in town and maybe in the area, are you finding that there's a stigma to being a farmer of cannabis?
Not per se as a farmer. I mean, I think in general there's a stigma, you know, with the leftovers of the reefer madness mode. I think there's a lot of misinformation being, you know, put out there. You know, there's discussion last night, there'll be 100,000 square foot greenhouse, which is really not happening. It is just a matter of, you know, the details of education. You know, most of this all the concerns that society would have, people in general, are in the regulations. I mean, they're all addressed. The regulations are extremely thorough and complex. And, you know, as you go through the regulations, I implore for everyone to read them so they can have their concerns addressed. So at this point now, it's an educational point for our group. We're having a meeting tomorrow at the Truro Public Library in conjunction with the Massachusetts Recreational Consumer Council, which is a state lobbying agency. They're going to discuss the state regs. And then we're also having Regulate CAPE, which is a Cape Cod marijuana advocacy group working for smart zoning. They did a lot of work in Brewster. We'll be there. And we're just trying to be as transparent as possible. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a presentation. You can bring all your concerns. We can discuss everything openly and try to educate folks before our town meeting. And we certainly hope that any officials who haven't read the regulations could come and get some questions answered. I mean, there's a lot of discussion that we're going to be building greenhouses everywhere, and that's just not really in the cards at this juncture. And, you know, it's a lot more hypothetical concerns than reality-based concerns at this point.
It's Sarah, go ahead.
For a second? Yep. You know, I think the Cannabis Control Commission has done a great job. And as Dave just mentioned, these are very complex regulations. It's over 100 pages. And I think that the Board of Selectmen and the town manager, their role is to look out for the interest of the town as a whole. And I think what we're asking for is enough time for us to really understand the complex regulations, as Dave said, in order to make sure we implement this in a way that works for our town. It's not about stopping something. And as Representative Peake talked about in terms of when the ballot question happened, the ballot question did one thing, and then the state needed to take some time to make sure that they were doing it right for Massachusetts. And I think what we're putting in front of the town for town meeting is the same kind of thing. We want an opportunity to take a little time to make sure that we do it right for our community, for the citizens of Truro. And we want it to succeed. And so we need to be able to, that's part of the approach, is we want to make sure that we're doing things right so that craft cooperatives actually can succeed to the best possible, in the best possible ways in Truro.
Yeah. All right, so I got about a minute left. Sarah, as you look at some of the town-by-town issues arising from the legalization of marijuana, do you get the sense that the state marijuana regulations are working as planned?
Yeah, and, you know, it's a brave new world. This is an industry that is new to Massachusetts. We intentionally left a lot of local control with our 351 cities and towns so that people can find the right fit for their community. As opposed to the state just, you know, coming down with a hammer on top of people's heads. I would want to give a plug. If people are curious about what the regulations are, what the different kinds of products might be and all of that, to go to the masscannabiscontrol.com. If you just Google Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission, you'll get right to their website. They have an FAQ section that is really terrific. They have a synopsis of the regs. They have the regs printed in its entirety. They have a timeline going from the ballot initiative to through the whole licensing process right up to July 1st when retail sales will be legal in Massachusetts. And there is just a ton of information there that, quite honestly, I went and reviewed because we took this up last July, and I wanted to refresh my recollection before I got on the air with you and was thrilled to see how thorough and in plain English, the Cannabis Control Commission has put information out on their website.
And we'll make it even easier. We'll put a link to it at our website, capeandislands.org. State's Representative Sarah Peake, Paul Wasowski, the chairman of the Truro Board of Selectmen, and Dave DeWitt, a member of the Truro Agriculture Commission and farmer in the newly formed Cannabis Farming Cooperative. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you, Mindy.
Thank you very much.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.